10 a.m. on the 16th of December 1942, a German spy drops from a Focke-Wulf reconnaissance plane over Cambridgeshire. For 12 minutes he floats silently down. The stars are out, but the land beneath is utterly dark. His nose bleeds copiously. The spy is well equipped. In his pocket is a wallet taken from a British soldier killed at Dieppe 4 months earlier. Inside are two identity cards, which are fake, and a letter from his girlfriend Betty, which is genuine. His pack contains matches impregnated with quinine for secret writing, a wireless receiver, a military map, £990 in used notes, a Colt revolver, and an entrenching tool. In the turn-up of the right trouser leg has been sewn a small package containing a suicide pill of potassium cyanide. The name of the spy is Edward Arnold Chapman. The British police also know him as Edward Edwards, Edward Simpson, and Arnold Thompson. His German spy masters have given him the code name of Fritz, or affectionately, Fritchen, Little Fritz. That evening the chief constable of Cambridgeshire, after an urgent call from a gentleman in Whitehall, has instructed his officers to be on the lookout for an individual referred to only as Agent X. Eddie Chapman lands in a ploughed field at 2:25 a.m. and immediately falls face-first into the sodden soil. Dazed, he releases his parachute, climbs out of his blood-spattered flying suit, and buries the bundle. He curses in the deep darkness and wonders where he is. Spring came early to the island of Jersey in 1939, and the sun that poured through the dining room window of the Hotel de la Plage formed a dazzling halo around the man sitting opposite Betty Farmer, with his back to the sea, laughing as he tucked into the 6-shilling Sunday roast special. Betty, 18, a farm girl newly escaped from the Shropshire countryside, knew this man was quite unlike any she'd met before. Beyond that, her knowledge of Eddie Chapman was limited. She knew he was 24, tall and handsome, with a thin moustache and deep hazel eyes. His voice was strong but high-pitched, with a hint of a northeastern accent. He was bubbly, full of laughter and mischief. She knew he must be rich because he was in the film business and drove a Bentley. He wore expensive suits, a gold ring, and a cashmere overcoat with mink collar. They'd met at a club in Kensington Church Street, and Eddie had become her first lover. But then he vanished, saying he had urgent business in Scotland. "I shall go," he told her, "but I shall always come back."